take off. Some of you weren't listening. Proverbs 9 and James 3. It'd be a good day to go street preaching up in Crown Point. So about 2 o'clock, maybe we can take off, get up there about 2:30, take off about 3:30, get back here at 4, so and make it a nice day of rest. So anybody wants to do that, we'll do that about 2. Okay, Proverbs 9 and James Numero tre. Okay, Proverbs 8 and 9 is what the Bible would say to you if it had vocal cords. In Proverbs 9, you'll see in verse 4 and verse 16 are identical verses, except for 16 throws in one and. And it's a contrast between wisdom. Okay, one is the right kind of wisdom and the other is the counterfeit. James 3 has the same situation. Okay, Proverbs 9. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maiden. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Notice the word, the phrase in the end of verse 6. Go in the way of understanding. There is a path toward understanding, a way that a person is to follow. And verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. The implications there are basically is the way of understanding starts off negative with a rebuke or reprove. And if you're not willing to listen to it, your pilot light got blown out. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Okay, now the counterfeit. Verse 13, here's the counterfeit. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Notice the counterfeit says the same thing in verse 4. Verse 4, the wisdom of God is offering something that God has prepared for you freely. The wisdom of the world, is verse 16, is stolen. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Okay, there's the contrast. Okay, James 3 also gives the contrast. James 3, verse 13 and following. Okay, James 3, 13. Whoso is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this passage. I ask for discretion and discernment. I ask you to give us good judgment. I ask that the Spirit of God will open our eyes of understanding so we might understand your words and be faithful to you. Help us to know the truth from the error. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, back in Proverbs 9, you have a contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. You got the same in James chapter 3. James makes it pretty evident in James 3, verse 15. It's quite evident there, the differences. In Proverbs, it's a little tougher if you're not following the words very closely. In Proverbs 9, the wisdom of God prepares his own meal, prepares its own, does everything, offers it out freely, and whoever comes to him gets what he gives them freely. The second one is a thief, steals from God, the counterfeit. Okay, the wisdom of this world is a counterfeit of God's wisdom. You see, the thing that the devil offered Eve was that you would be wise. That's the counterfeit wisdom. Okay, now back in Proverbs chapter 9, at the end of verse 6, notice the wording very closely. It says, and go in the way of understanding. That's very important to get. There is a way that a person follows to get understanding. Understanding involves the ability to discern and or perceive truth from error. It is the ability to think. If you would, look in Mark chapter 7, verse 18. A people in America are not taught to think. Anybody who is in education, any education, if they would think, they would be able to reason with their thinking ability that evolution is a farce. If you just think, just think and look around. You know, I've been catching a little bit of limbo lately, Limbaugh, and he's been hammering Obama, and he basically says Obama is somebody who doesn't think, they just believe. And that's true, but that's the way McCain is too. There ain't no difference as far as that goes. They're not taught to think. Think about it. If you got a campaign debt, who's going to pay your debt? You're just going to print money? You see, if an individual can't just go print money, what gives a government right to print money? They're not thinking. I mean, it's going to go belly up. I mean, the conditions are just like it was before the Depression. But they're not thinking. They think you can just keep printing money and things are going to be okay. No, they're going to figure it out. People are going to figure it out. You see, John Maynard Keynes said years ago in his one book, and the people nowadays in economics have what's called a Keynesian monetary policy. And he said in that book that if you keep printing money where your money becomes like the trees and the leaves, or the leaves on a tree, then people will understand the fraud that's been perpetrated against them. See, so the trick is to keep everybody in the blindness. And it's not too easy, hard to do when they're not taught to think. You see, the public school doesn't teach them to think, and Christian education is much better. They're taught to believe. This is what I say happened, now you believe it and put it on the test. But if you think, you're going to say, that's a bunch of hogwash. You see, this is what understanding is. It's the ability to perceive. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. He saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Jesus talking to his disciples. Are you without understanding? Do you not perceive? You see, it is perception. It's understanding something. It's the ability to think. See, the very important about that word understanding, if you go to court, if you want to get in court, and it's a good experience for anybody, What the judge will do is he will read the charges against you. Okay, speeding, you know, failure to obey a stop sign. Or in my case, a few years back, the unauthorized practice of law. So one of the first things the judge has to do is he reads the charge against you. And then he looks at you and says, do you understand the charges against you? Now, most people don't want to feel like an idiot. And so they say, yes, judge. But they really don't. And so when I said, no, then he read it real slow. After he read it real slow, he read the whole statute out. He said, Mr. Hoffman, do you understand the charges against you? And I said, nope, Judge, sorry. He rolled his eyes and said, Mr. Hoffman, what don't you understand? Which is a dumb question. You know, what do you mean, what do I don't understand? I don't understand. Who are you? I'm a judge. Prove it. Let me see your oath and bonds. Bill Day had a case in South Bend area and proved to his judge she didn't have oath and bonds, and the judge said, don't matter. And then she went out and got her oath and bonds. All eight judges in South Bend didn't have their oath and bonds, which means they were all fake. And so the judge said to me, what don't you understand? And I said, well, judge, I appreciate you asking that question. And I said, who's the plaintiff? He said, Indiana. I said, is that a corporation or a state? Mr. Hoffman, it doesn't matter. I said, it do to me. It does matter. I didn't understand. And technically, they cannot go forward as long as you don't understand. Now, we have somebody here that's so ignorant, they don't even understand what speeding is. Jeremy was in a case up in Lake County, the judge read his charges, speeding charges, and then he said, do you understand? No. I was sitting in the back, and people were saying, what an idiot. But in actuality, he was right. Because if you look at Title IX, it doesn't go against your car. That's meant for the police car and the ambulances and the emergency vehicle. If you read the thing, that's what it's for. So when he didn't understand, everybody else thought he was an idiot, but they were the idiots. You know, and funny, when the judge came off his bench, you know, and walked down the hall, and we're standing there, and I just looked at the judge and said, we'll just give you a little variety. He didn't smile at that because it wasn't tic-tac-toe, give me the dough. That's what they're used to. But you see, what they're doing, what they do is that you got to understand before they can proceed. Understanding is something that's very important in life. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts in the Bible about the word understanding. The first thought is, the big three are vital for you and I to have in order to please God. Well, what's the big three? When you go through Proverbs, you've got the big three: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know, you got the big three automakers. Okay, you got the Father, the God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three is a very prominent number in the Bible. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 2, the big three, when you read through Proverbs, is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is knowing the facts, the issue, or the topic. It's knowing some information. That's what knowledge is. That's what education does. Gives you knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to live the facts, the issue, or the topic. Knowledge is the what. Wisdom is the how. Understanding is the why. Understanding is knowing why the facts, the issue, or the topic is truthful or right. Knowledge is knowing what. Wisdom is knowing how to live the what. And understanding is knowing why you live the what. Basically, knowledge is you reading a book about flying an airplane. You're reading the manuals, you're reading this, you're reading that. Wisdom is when you go and start to learn how to fly the airplane. Understanding is when you study what creates lift, what causes lift, when the air comes across the wing and how it compresses and it causes lift, how you can take a thing that weighs tons and tons and all of a sudden that thing can actually come off the ground. You see, that don't make sense. But when you understand aerodynamics, then it gets to make sense. You see, and how God designed that. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, if we read through Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Notice the TH is on the words. Thee, thou, thy, thine. You know, it cracks me up when people say, well, those thees and thous are so hard. Boy, that is tough, isn't it? Thee, four-letter word, that's hard, isn't it? Those are personal pronouns, singular pronouns. This is you individually. You can be corporally. In our culture today, the Y-O-U can be individually and the plural. In the Bible, it's plural, but now we use it both ways. Thee is singular. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thee, Lord Jesus. That's personal pronouns. That's receiving Jesus Christ personally. When they mess around with that, that's when you get this corporate salvation type stuff. Okay, so this is you personally studying yourself. Verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou, notice the word, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Notice, understanding shall keep thee. Not knowledge and not wisdom. What keeps thee is understanding. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, again. This is what Proverbs is telling us, verse 4 or verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver it to thee. Understanding is your part. Knowledge is your part in a soul all by itself. That's your part. You are to get the knowledge. Wisdom is God's part. When you ask him, he will give you the wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and so forth and so on. He'll give that to you. Understanding is both of you working together. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The problem with Christianity today is the understanding or the lack thereof. The second thought is very simple. Understanding the way of truth is what preserves your life and work. What preserves it is your understanding. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You see, you hear a lot of people talk about the inspiration of the scriptures, but if they're not preserved perfectly, what's the use of inspiring them? Inspiration is of no value without a preservation. And the Christian life, getting saved, technically, if a person is living their life in a deceived manner, what has salvation done for them? Well, saved their soul, but their life is of no value. This is what Paul feared when he was writing the book of Galatians. You see, work is what creates wealth. Wisdom and understanding is what retains wealth.
You see, there are multitudes of believers in this country who are living nothing but deceived lives of absolutely no value. You many Jehovah's Witnesses are just ignorant Baptists. Mormons around here, many of them are just ignorant, born again, saved people. Mormons out west, they probably grew up in the culture. What is the problem? They haven't been seeking for understanding. There are multitudes of believers. There's a multitude of young people who go through a Christian school, go through 12 years of Christian, private Christian education. Once they get out, you don't see them in church ever again or for years and years and years. What's the problem? No understanding. They got the knowledge. The school gave them the knowledge. The school even gave them wisdom, know how to live the knowledge. But they didn't apply their own personal heart looking for understanding. Psalm 32 verse 9, it says, "Be ye not as a horse which hath no understanding." The idea is you ought to desire to get understanding. Multitudes of young people do not understand the truth sitting in a church like this. A lot of young people sit in a Bible-believing church and they ain't doing them any good because they don't understand. They're not applying their own heart to seek it out themselves. Understanding is what increases the quality of one's life, Christian life and your personal life. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Understanding the way of truth preserves one's life and work. It is a way that you have to follow. It is a process. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Understanding is what will establish your heart. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. It says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established." You see, a man of understanding, one man of understanding can really help a lot of people. And in fact, one man of understanding can save an entire nation. Proverbs 28, you get one guy in D.C. that understands what's going on. Most of them do not. They just believe, and they're not. If you start asking them questions, they get all flustered because they haven't been prompted. They haven't had a screenwriter or somebody write their speech or tell them what the question's going to be. A lot of times we see these people asking questions, and they got the answer just jolly on the spot. We think, oh, they're so smart. They were told what to ask the question. It's all a stage. But when you get one man up there with no notes in front of him and they just said, start asking, and when he could start answering, if you got one in D.C. like that and if people take heed to him, this country can be helped. Are they going to take heed? I doubt it. Proverbs 28, verse 2, "For the transgression of a land, many of the princes thereof." Many of the princes, many of the politicians. When you have big government, you got big sin. People say Democrats, Republicans, ain't no difference. The Democrats of today are socialists and communists of the past, and Republicans or Democrats are a softer version of socialists. They're all big government. They think that's where the answer is at. The answer is in them. You see, and it's not in them. It says, "But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." One man. One man who understands his oath of office. One man who understands that when he took an oath to God Almighty. And that's a contract. One man. You see, understanding the way of truth is what preserves one's life, one's work, and even one's nation. Understanding is very important. The third thought is I want to give you is that this is dealing with the way of understanding. A sincere desire and a determined heart are necessary to understand the truth. This is necessary. If you would look in Psalm 119. After going through 5 years of Christian college, I went to 2 years of Christian college over at Grace College, the hyper-Calvinist school, Grace Brethren, multi-versions and everything. Then I transferred from there to Hiles Anderson, which was King James. They didn't say it much back then. They would correct it quietly when I was in class. I didn't pick up on it much then. But then they came out for the King James Bible. But after 5 years of that and 2 years in the ministry, I realized I didn't learn the Bible. I did not learn Bible doctrine. I learned Baptist or fundamentalist doctrine, but I didn't learn Bible doctrine. And when people on the street showed me Hebrews 3 or Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10, I didn't know what the answer was. I didn't know how to answer those things. There are a lot of things I didn't understand in the Bible. And so somebody gave me a tapes from some feller, and I started listening to those tapes and said, whoa, that's interesting. And I started going through those tapes verse by verse, and I bought everything he had verse by verse. Back then, there's a guy in Ohio that had permission from Ruckman to sell these tapes for a buck a tape. And I was thankful for that because I bought them. Later on, they said, you can't do that. And so I realized I did not have understanding. Interesting thing, Grace College, as far as Bible doctrine, they understood right dividing the scriptures. They had that right. Hiles Anderson didn't even know what that was. You see, they had the right Bible, but they didn't know how to rightly divide the scriptures. You see, this is what bugs me about fundamentalists, is they're so lackadaisical about the words of God. If you got your fundamentals, you're fine as long as you're riding this little fundamental ship. What about all these other doctrines? This Bible does not teach eternal security in the Old Testament. And what are they going to do with all those things? They're going to just ignore them. You see, you can't take the Bible and punch it in your little fundamentalist view. Now, I learned a lot of good things in Hiles Anderson, a lot of good things. I got a good thing out of Grace College, a wife. You know, I got that was good out of there. But I did not have understanding. People say you didn't apply yourself. You can't say that about me. I applied myself. I stayed awake in class. Most of them weren't even staying awake. It's funny, they even got to the point where you describe the sleepers in class. You've got the nodder. You know, then you got the zombie who sits there and stares at the teacher and is fast asleep, just eyes wide open. Then you get the drooler. They're like this, and then it drips down. I've seen all of them. Then you got the scribbler, where he's got his notes and he'll be writing, all of a sudden scribble down, you know, and write, scribble down, and you know, he kind of goes with the nodder, you see. But boy, that wasn't me. I was wide awake, man. I was paying attention. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how to be a good Christian. I want to learn how to win souls. I wasn't planning on being a preacher. I was planning on being a farmer, you know. But that's how God started working on me. But I understood quickly that I didn't understand this Bible. After you get out on the street and start dealing with people and they start bringing up these doctrines, I could not answer them. And at that time, I was pastoring that little church down in Rensselaer, farming with Dad and my brother, Ron. And so being a grain farmers, you know, we're kind of vacation farmers. Dairy farming, that's real farming. I mean, that's the whole hog farming. I mean, dairy farming is 12 months out of the year. You know, basically, when we grew up, August would be our tearing down time or building up time. We'd be building another grain bin, you know, build another barn, tearing down this barn. That's our August. Almost every summer, we'd be doing that. And then winter months, a little more free time. So when I realized I didn't know this Bible very well, I started going verse by verse. I took that wide margin Schofield Bible that I had, and I sat in my office down there in that little church for 6 to 8 hours. And went through everything he had verse by verse. Man, I got so excited about this book. That book's real. Man, when you see the doctrine of that book, them things, that book opens up, and man, that thing comes alive. When I first started hearing about this King James issue, I thought they were exaggerating on the issue. And I wrote to schools myself, and boy, they get mad at you when you ask questions. Bob Jones III, he was downright peeved. I mean, he was mad that I asked them questions. Who are you and what do you think you're doing? I said, I'm just a preacher in Northwest Indiana. I want to get the answer straight from the horse's mouth. And when he wouldn't answer the questions, I said, maybe the horse's cousin's mouth. Let him think about that for a while. But I wanted to know it. I wanted to understand some things. And then when I decided to try to put this reference Bible together, how the Lord worked that out, you know, it come the spring of 2000, running clear through August of 2003 or 4, I don't know, forget what it was, about 3.5 years straight, I sat in front of that computer with my Scofield on one side and a Family Bible on the other side and a Sword Searcher up on the screen and sat in front of that thing 40 to 50 hours a week. Wanted to learn that book. Hey, if this isn't the final authority, I'm out the door. If this doesn't have all the answers, then I'm wasting my time. And if God expects me to teach this book, I better figure out what this book says. In other words, I had a desire to learn what this book said. And man, what joy that gave me. Man, I don't need to know Greek and Hebrew, and I don't. I got it right here in English. And it's just as perfect as can be. And when these guys always try to throw some Greek at me, I just tell, hey, you go to Matthew chapter 9, you look at verse 9 where it mentions bill of divorcement, and you give me a literal translation, smart aleck. And you look at those two words, the literal translation of a bill of divorcement is an apostate Bible. Let them throw that on you. Put that right on them. When God writes a bill of divorcement to a country, he gives them apostate Bibles. Where are we at? You can get it right out of there. I tell you, what it was is I was wanting the truth. I was not wanting just knowledge. I was not just wanting wisdom. I wanted understanding. You see, in the fundamentalist circles, they have knowledge and they got wisdom. I'm not saying they don't. They win souls, and I thank God for that, and I'm not against all that. I'm for all that thing. But I'm saying that this book is an eternal book. And Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Very important. Psalm 119, if you look at this psalm and run through some of these verses. A sincere and determined heart, a sincere desire and a determined heart are necessary to understand the truth. Verse 27, notice the prayer. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Psalm 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. That's a good quality life there. Psalm 119, verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, and give me understanding according to thy word. This is crying out to God personally for understanding. You see, a preacher can give you knowledge. A preacher can actually give you wisdom. And a preacher can try to get you to understand what the Bible says. In fact, that's what our goal and try is to be. Nehemiah 8, verse 8, is to get them to understand what the Bible is saying. That is what the goal is, but yet that's the individual's got to pray for it. Ephesians 1, verse 18. This is a verse I've often mentioned that's the greatest prayer you can pray, that God would open your eyes to the Scriptures. But in particular, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. If you look at that prayer in Ephesians 1, verse 16, it says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice the big threes right there. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. A sincere desire and a determined heart are necessary to understand the truth. That's you individually. That's you personally. You know, I can't make a person do it. I can just try to motivate you to do it. The thing that Solomon prayed in 1 Kings chapter 3, he prayed that he would understand judgment and discernment. He's praying for understanding, and that pleased God when he said that, and God answered his prayer. See, here's the problem. The fourth thought is basically this: children or people with no understanding fail God because they forget God. If you would, look at Matthew chapter 13. Many of the Bible-believing churches all across this country got people sitting in there, and they know which Bible they're supposed to read. At least they know which Bible is supposed to collect dust in their house, most of them. And they hear all this Bible-believing preaching, and they walk out the door, and they don't search it themselves, it's going to be coming, taken right out of their heart. What good is it? What good is it? Actually, it's no good to them, and in fact, it makes it worse for them, because to whom much is given, much is required. Matthew 13, verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That he which received seed, this is he which received seed by the wayside." What good is it? This is what Paul talks about, you know, laboring in vain. This is what it feels like. Now, you're not laboring in vain. You're washing your own hands is what you're doing. Basically, most of the ministry today is washing your own hands from people's blood. That's what most of the ministry is today. You tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, they hear it, they walk off, they don't understand it, they forget it. They stumble across truth like nothing ever happened. You see, and that's the problem. The problem is that this Bible, the New Testament, is working on an individual basis. Matthew 13, verse 23, he says this, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Basically, very simply, it is going to take a sincere desire in your heart and a determined heart that's going to take time. Now, granted, I was quite fortunate in that I had the opportunity as a pastor to study the Word more. And I don't expect anybody to sit in front of a computer 8 hours a day because you got to work. Make a living. I understand that. But you can sit there and study your Bible for an hour or two and research yourself, and think it through, and try to analyze it, and cry out to God and ask Him. You see, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you sit in front of the boob tube. I've had guys in jail tell me they didn't have time to read their Bible. I mean, what a thing. America has all these time-saving devices, but people don't got time to read their Bible. You see, the problem is we've been sidetracked. Prosperity is a thing that deters people away from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God told those Israelites, when you get into the land, you're going to have a land of milk and honey. He said, but, don't forget me. He said that three times. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. You see, don't forget. Oh, I won't forget you while I'm pulling in them fish out there. I won't forget you. Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't forget God. You see, the thing is, it's your responsibility to get the understanding. You can't point your finger at somebody else. You can't point your preacher at the finger and say, I didn't understand. It's your fault. You see, everybody's looking for a scapegoat nowadays. The reason why the Catholic Church is so big is because, one, is because of family, but two, is because those people think that when they hit the judgment, they can look at the priest and say, it's his fault. It's his fault. No, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Is your heart sincerely desiring to understand the truth of this book? Are you determined, come hell or high water, that you are gonna understand the doctrines of this book? Then cry out to that God and do your homework. And I'm here to tell you, he'll answer your prayer. And then you can say, this is what I believe, not what my church believes. This is what I understand. It is of my own certain knowledge. This is what I understand. And I tell you, there's so much joy in that. There's so much joy in that your closeness between you and God and Him alone. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that desire to understand the truth of thy words. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, give us a sincere desire and a determined heart that we might spend time in the truth of God, in the truth of this book, and cry out to you and ask for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Lord, it's our part to get the knowledge, but Lord, I do pray you give us the wisdom and understanding. Help us to be people that understand why we believe what we believe. And Lord, when we give it out to others, I pray you'd help us, give us wisdom to give it out simply, clearly, so that these people might understand. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the altar's open, the instruments will play. A sincere heart. A lot of times people nowadays, they want to see young people get up and preach and sing. And of course, that's a blessing. And I'm glad we do what we do. Usually on the last Sunday of the month for the young people to do it. And a lot of times people say, well, I want a young man to really charge me up. No, I'll be honest with you. I like to see the older generation who've been faithfully serving God. I'd much rather hear a very quiet, calm, elderly preacher quietly give the word of God than to hear some bombastic young guy be all fired up, you know, and get everybody all jacked up like a cheerleader. Granted, both are nice to have. But it's being faithful to God for years and years, that's where the blessing comes in. Why? It's a man of understanding. A man of understanding. Young people, desire to understand why you believe what you believe. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words, and I pray you'd give us a sincere desire and a determined heart to understand thy truths. In Jesus' name, amen.